Welcome to the West Ham Way USA podcast. I'm your co-host Tony in quarantine, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. On the other side, we got Brawley. How's it going in St. Louis, man?
I'm doing good, just killing time. And you know, I'm missing football. I'm missing the game, but you know, we're doing the best we can to get through it, aren't we?
Yeah, this is our second attempt at season. Or show number 15, I should say. The first time I didn't get a chance to put out the podcast, so I should say I had plenty of time in quarantine and just got lazy. So I thank my amazing co-host again for re-recording this podcast. 3 weeks later? Maybe now four?
Yeah, 2.5, 3 weeks. Yeah, right around there. So. Something like that.
However, a little bit has changed, not too much, but the conversation will be the same fairly, and I'm excited to actually come out and do this podcast again. It's really sucky without football right now.
Yeah, well, first off, we're sorry for not putting anything out in so long. We have had time, actually, to do it, and, you know, when we see other outlets putting all this stuff out, we feel a little bad to our fans for not putting anything out, so here we are, so hopefully this will become a more regular thing again.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just been crazy not in the same routines, because what we normally try and do is record Sunday nights, put out Monday morning. But with the quarantine just messing everything up, like I'm still lucky enough and thankful enough that I got to continue my job from home. However, it does make me feel like I am always at work when I'm at home. And you have an interesting case as well going on too, right?
Yeah, well, I've been laid off work. I'm actually going back for a couple of days a week over the next couple of weeks. So Saturdays and Sundays, I'll be going back for some small work. It's not like it's fully reopened, but it is something, and it'll be nice to get back into the work swing a little bit. Although I will say I am enjoying getting stuff done around the house, but it'll be nice to be back in a normal, regular swing of things.
Like getting your ass whooped in a FIFA league.
Oh yeah, I'm horrible at FIFA. This new FIFA, I am just not good at it. I don't know what it is. You know, it's like seems like every year everyone bitches about, oh, it's terrible, it's terrible. It's like genuinely this year online, I don't know why. I'm just not very good at it. I don't know. The defending seems weird. I can still score,
yeah,
but
the
like
defend,
the bar
defending is much try, the defending is much more difficult. It's a lot more. Okay, hold on. One. Someone's at my door. We're going to take a quick pause. Okay, so back from that brief interruption, here we go again. You know, we were talking about FIFA and how I think the difficult the defending is. You have to do so much more manual work in the defending this year when you play it. However, folks, if you do have a PlayStation, I am COYIUSA93. Brawley, what's your gamer if anyone wants to add you up?
It's STLCOYI, so we have similar gamer tags.
Nice.
I can't remember. It might be COYISTL. I don't remember.
Well, you're much better at NHL though, so I'll give you credit there. Brawley is super awesome at NHL and gun games. I am sucky at gun games, but I like to play FIFA. So if anyone wants to add this up and you're bored in quarantine, let us know. What do you want to talk about first? Should we talk about West Ham and the potential finish of this Premier League, or lack thereof, I should say?
Well, I mean, we can get into that. I know we had a few questions from the listeners as well we were wanting to get into, so I don't know if you want to just jump right into that.
Yeah, I'm sure I can almost be positive one of the questions will probably be about the finish of the Premier League. So let's pull that up real quick. Question request is what I put out. I think we should do a podcast this week. Reply with any topics or questions that we should discuss. I know we don't put out as much content as other channels, but we try to give you the best content possible as best as we can. Thank you for your support. And again, like we just mentioned, we really do appreciate all of our listeners. It really means a lot when you send us messages and emails, and it keeps us going. So the first question is from Papa Darbin. That's Russ Darbin 40. That's Brawley's dad. It says, what do you guys think the club can do to support our American fan base? And what would other listeners like them to do? I like the regular preseason games, or at least every other year. Okay, so it's pretty much sounding like he wants them to do a trip every other year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the logistics behind all that stuff are. So, I mean, the preseason stuff's nice. I do enjoy it. I mean, it would be nice to be able to have them organize some sort of... And by the way, for those that didn't listen to it, you and I and a few other American guys went on Baz Cox's YouTube channel, Clarendon Blue TV, and he had a little American day with us. And this he asked a similar thing. And I think first thing they should do, if they really now, if they don't care about the American fans or fans at all, which I mean, it wouldn't shock me, then that's fine. I mean, the owners are entitled to do whatever they want to do. But if it were me and I wanted to tap into the American market a little bit more, I would first thing I would do is set up a USA Twitter handle. So you see, like Everton, Arsenal,
Chelsea,
all the big teams have a USA side of their Twitter. Which I think that's great. I think, and they interact with fans all the time, and they do retweets and all that sort of stuff. So I think that's a good place to start. The next thing you could do is organize some sort of event every year for American, or even not even just American fans, international fans as a whole. It feels like that we aren't valued as much as, you know, the local fans, because we can't go every week, I guess. And the thing is that we're armchair plastic supporters because we don't go week in, week out, that sort of thing. And I think they can set something up either in the United States, an event like we did with the West Ham Way USA event, or you set up a International Supporters Day or American Supporters Day at the London Stadium, where you pick a game out of the year, you put on a travel package, you open up training session. You have a store, a stadium tour, all that good stuff, and you can do something that way. Just like little things like that, I think, would go a long way with international supporters. And I just feel like sometimes we're looked down upon because we're international fans and we can't go every week. I know I'm rambling a little bit, but if you want to hear me go into more depth about it, I would go check out the Clareton Blue TV episode with us on it.
I think it's a little bit disappointing. One of the things I find that American fans have issues with is the accessibility to get over. And like you said, because we can't get over every week or go up and down the country, and I think Baz made a really interesting point. There's a lot of people even in England that get looked down upon that are West Ham fans that they don't have the means to go away. You know, when I lived there, I was lucky enough that I had – it's a long story, but, you know, I got to go home and away. It was the greatest experiences of my life. I miss it so much. But if you don't go to every single game – I mean, I even had friends over season tickets that didn't go to every single game that, you know, that doesn't make them any more or less a fan. It's what you have time and means and money for. You know, so just because an American fan, like I think I say on most podcasts, I try to get over about four times a year. Brawley, you get over what, once every 3 years? That doesn't make me any more of a fan than you,
right?
You know, so doesn't really, in my opinion, doesn't matter how many games you go to make you more or less a fan, because it's all about means. That it has nothing to do with fandom. If you have more money or time or proximity, you're going to obviously go to more games.
Yeah, I have the same amount of respect for anyone who's willing to get up at 2:30, 3:30, 4:30, 5:30 in the morning to even watch at home or go travel, drive 40 minutes like I do to go to the pub. I mean, I have the same level of respect as that person as I do for someone who goes week in and week out. And I don't think there's any, you know, one thing that makes someone a fan. I think as long as you support West Ham through thick and thin, that's all that matters to me, and we're all the same. So I would just like to see international supporters given just a little bit more respect than we get, because just because we say the word soccer and we don't live over there doesn't make us any less important. You know what I mean?
Because we wear jerseys and cleats and play on the field and...
Yeah, shin guards.
Shin guards instead of or penalty kick, right? Or PK.
Yeah, PK. Yeah. That is one thing that I can't say. I will never say PK. I think that penalty. That makes me cringe.
I want to branch off your idea, and I think we've been talking about this, and you and I have even tried to reach out to the club as a joint thing together, trying to say, you know, if they put together packages for people that made it affordable, people would buy those packages, and they have airlines sponsors, and they have different hotel sponsors and partnerships. There's no way, or there's no reason for them that they can't put together a trip a year and say, hey, American supporters, RSVP by this time, pay by this date, and you get a round-trip flight out of X, Y, and Z into Heathrow. You'll get a team bus. Everybody gets in at the same time. You'll get a bus to your hotel. There'll be a training ground day, and you get to go to the team store and a section into London Stadium, because we know there's plenty of empty seats up top.
Yeah. I really don't know what the logistics are behind it. I'm sure it takes a lot of logistical power to do that and have everything line up, but I don't think it's impossible. And I think there are clubs out there. I think Aston Villa do a really, really good job of international supporters. They have a liaison officer that they communicate with. I think that would be another good place to start, where if American or, again, any international fans had questions, they can direct them to one person, and that person's job is to help coordinate international fans out there. I think that again would be a really good place to start.
As much as I love the Everton boys who come on our podcast, the American Toffee podcast, they're really cool guys over there. They went over for their first game this year ever, but I know Everton does, for their American supporters, they do a package deal where they get to go to the training ground and do all that and blah 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 blah. And I just don't think, with the club, with their resources such as West Ham, I can't imagine it would be that much of a lift. I think it would be the organization piece, but I can't imagine that the financial piece, or even just putting in the effort a little bit, would really put them that out of place.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And like my dad was saying, the preseason tours are great. It is really nice to be able to get a quote-unquote away day in the United States, you know, where all the American fans meet. Like, we had a great time in Carolina. I thought that was awesome.
Yep.
I think the people in Seattle got shafted a little bit more than we did, because they were put all the way at the top of an NFL stadium, whereas we were right down low next to the pitch. And there was a – I believe there's a training session. I don't know if it was open, but I got to meet Mark Noble before the game.
We both got signed shirts, I think.
Yeah,
right?
I had my shirt signed by Mark Noble, and I met Julian Dix. I had a few other players also stop by to take pictures with me. And me and you were right down second row, right off the pitch. So that was awesome.
Incredible. Hey, listen, West Ham, if you have somebody in the club listen to our podcast to see what kind of dirt or shit we're talking, other recommendation would be you use that Kissimmee partnership that y'all put in the stadium all the time and do a preseason game there. Just saying. And I'll fly to Florida.
Any excuse to get down to Florida for a game. Yeah, that'd be great. Cause I believe Ian Bishop is now working with one of the Miami clubs. It's not the MLS one. And I don't think it's the USL one either. I think there's a third team down there. But that would be a cool correlation if you got West Ham and them to play a friendly. But my ultimate dream is to have West Ham and St. Louis FC play a preseason game. But St. Louis FC have never done one of those friendlies. And again, those are quite tough to do because of logistical reasons. And it's not cheap to do either.
Is Jack Collison still with Atlanta's youth program?
Yeah, I believe so.
There you go. Boom. West Ham in Atlanta the next summer. Boom. There it is.
Yep, that'd be nice. Anyway, you have the next question pulled up?
Yeah, this is from Ian Tricasseri. Lord, I apologize,
I think it's Tricheri or Tricheri. Yeah.
I never asked him. So I actually met Ian when we were in when I went to the West Ham Way event. Super nice guy. I just never asked him how to pronounce his last name. So appreciate your support, man. Hey, guys. Hope you and your families are safe and well. Topic for the podcast, how to end the season, play behind closed doors, abandon, or something else. So I think you have some interesting points. I'll let you start off with this one.
Well, you know, my views have changed on this several times.
Multiple times.
Yeah. Because at the very beginning, I thought, you know, you gotta end the season no matter what. It's tough to do. And then as it dragged on, I was like, well, you know, it would be nice. Liverpool are deserving champions this season. Let's not kid ourselves. I despise Liverpool. The thought of them lifting a trophy makes me cringe. I really don't like them. I think they're always the victim. Blah, 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 blah. All the Liverpool-isms you can say about Liverpool, I totally agree with. However, we can't deny that they're not deserving champions this year. Not even close. If the season were to finish, they would be champions.
Yep.
Bar none, not even close, they would be champions. Okay. So I then thought, okay, you give Liverpool the title, and then you don't relegate anyone, and you promote the automatic promotion spots. Okay, mm-hmm. So then Leeds and West Brom will be promoted. We play a 22-team Premier League season next season, and then you relegate either 4 for the next 2 years or 5 next season, mm-hmm. or whenever that's going to be. And then when I sat on that and thought about it a little bit more, there are legal issues galore with that plan. Not necessarily with Liverpool winning the title, but with Leeds and West Brom being promoted. And then what do you do about the teams in third through sixth who should be granted a playoff system to get in the playoffs? And then what do you do about teams 7 and 8 who have a fighting chance to get in? So that to me has like legal issues written all over it. You're going to be suing. No one's going to be happy. And then what about every league below that? Do you promote 2 teams from the league below, or do you just call it good? You know what I mean?
Or where does it end? Or the money that's in non-league up into to league 2.
Yeah. I mean, where do you draw the line? So
I don't know. So keep that going.
That rules that out for me. So that leaves one option for me. Two options. Option one, you play the seasons out whenever that is. I hate that idea. I really don't like it. I think there are propositions for playing at neutral venues. I think that just came out today. Sky said, that the Premier League is committed to finishing the season. However, that's only going to be if they're able to play like 2 times a week inside closed stadiums at neutral sites. That you lose all credibility for me there. That's not what the game's about. It's about you play home and away. Every team has a home field advantage. And my other point is, what is football without fans? There is no football without fans. So to play behind closed doors to me,
Sky, football doesn't need fans. If you ask them, considering how often that they treat fans like shit, moving games last minute, or put in like, I don't know, West Ham and Newcastle on a Monday night, making you go all the way up there on a weekday or some bullshit like that.
Yeah, to me, playing in front of closed doors is an absolute slap in the face. I don't know what else to say. I hate that idea. I despise it. So to watch a game on TV with no fans in the stadium, and for them to probably, my guess would be, is they're going to have to pump in fake crowd noise, because you can't just have silence and over commentators. I don't think, I don't know, but that sounds terrible to me. So then you're left with the option of, you null and you void the season out. So sorry, Liverpool, sorry, Leeds, sorry, West Brom. You just void it out and you start again next season. That's the only solution where you avoid certain legal issues, in my opinion. I think
Liverpool, people will be upset, but I think it makes the most sense where, compared to upsetting people that were doing well, I think the null and void, it's just the most blanket, no questions, no drama, no up and down, this and that, just plain simple, it's done.
Yeah, we start again next season. So
because if you promote 2 people and put 2 people down, like you said, perfectly, you know, 3rd and 4th. But I think, again, as well as then they'll have to figure out how they're going to sort out who gets Champions League places and all that. Yeah, I think you just null and void and sort it out some other way. I don't, because also for the safety of the workers and all that, you know.
Yeah. Safety of the players, even.
Safety of the players, safety of the workers, of the staff, the training, facilities. Everything.
You're going to have to test every single player multiple times a week. You know how many tests that is that could be used for the general public? There's no way. Like, there's just no way that that can happen, in my opinion. And if they have that much money to where they can buy tests to test players multiple times a week, and all their staff, I think that's a joke, and you're taking away tests from people that actually really need them. I will say
two things about the closed doors, though. There's two things I do want to say about that. The first thing I want to say about the closed doors is I don't think it should happen. I don't really want it to happen for the safety aspect. However, I would like to have football back and even something like that to watch to keep me through, because I am still stuck at home here. I think that would be something like that would just get me through the day. It would be like, oh, West Ham's back, even if we lose every game. But I'm not really willing to like risk people's lives just so that I could sit there and watch football. Like, I'm not an asshole like that. Yeah. The second thing
you're
about...
still gonna have. Sorry, to just not, you're still no, gonna no, no, have go ahead. Like probably 100 to 200 people inside that stadium to make that
production.
All work.
Absolutely, you still need to have some stewards. You still need to have caterers. Training staff, at least, let's see, 18 to so 25 players on each staff.
I just can't see that happening.
Right. And then the other piece I will say that I would like about the closed doors is I found it extremely interesting but weird when UFC did their closed doors fight. You could hear everything. So I think it would be really interesting to hear the player chatter. If that was like a camera option or something like that, rather than commentary, because you wouldn't have the fans drowning it out in a...
Go watch a U23 game. That's all it is. It's the same thing.
Yeah, but I mean, these players are a little bit more skilled and thoughtful, so I thought that would be interesting. However, not enough to, again, risk anyone's safety, and not enough that, like... you're right. It would just kind of ruin the game because it's not that crazy atmosphere. It'd just be different.
But I would be livid if they decide to play behind closed doors. I think it's such a terrible, terrible idea.
But I don't even know I'm not a doctor or anything, so, and this is just going off of feel. This is no data and no nothing to back it up. So do not say, oh, well, Tony from the West Ham Way podcast said. I'd be shocked if we have live sports venues in 2020.
Yeah,
I don't think so. Yeah. Like, I can't imagine they do college football with live fans. Think about American college football, you know, 117,000 people at Beaver Stadium for a Penn State game. I don't think so. So yeah. I don't know what the difference would be with 60,000 people at the London Stadium. So I think we're going to have to get used to the closed doors, because I can't imagine they have live venued sports until January 2021.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't shock me. I think at least for this sport, football, like the Premier League without fans is nothing. Sports without fans in general is nothing.
Well, right.
I don't know why. And if that's the only way you can get it, I guess that's how you get it. But I hate that idea. I just really do. I hate it.
If they were to do the closed doors, I would at least, at the minimum, would like to see this season voided. That would be my desired outcome. For this season, is to see it just voided, ended, and they use the time to prepare on how they're going to entertain for next season. Because, like I said, I think the first half of the season, you are going to have sports without live spectators. So how are you going to entertain an audience? How are you going to allow people to watch 3 o'clock matches? Are you going to do broadcast? Are people going to be able to watch their team? If you have a season ticket, do you get a special login because you have season tickets and you still can't watch 3 o'clock in England, 10 o'clock in America? I don't know. Like, they're going to have to figure these logistics out, and I'd rather them see them end this season just now, get it done with, so that going into next season they have more time to prepare rather than piddle-paddling about what they're going to do this season, and take that energy into providing a great product for the fans next year.
I totally agree with that, 100%. I think
they're just wasting time now.
Yeah, just end it. Like, what are you dragging this out for? Like, so I guess Ligue 1 in France just crowned PSG as champions, but no promotion or relegation, which that seems bizarre to me. I don't understand how you can crown a champion without playing a full season. That doesn't make any sense to me. And then you have, I believe, the Dutch League just voided it out completely, where yep. nothing happened. And
keeping
that's the
in
approach.
Mind, their top two were tied, I believe, at the top.
Interesting.
So there wasn't a clear champion.
Yeah. So I think you just quit dicking around and just end it. And like you said, get next season prepared and get things ready to roll. But to me, you can't play three quarters of the season with fans and then a quarter of the season without fans, because again, you're playing under two different sets of rules. I've seen FIFA proposing you increase substitutions to 5 per game instead of 3. Well, again, you're changing the rules to a game, so you played three quarters
especially
of a competition
halfway through the season
under certain rules, and then you change that rule. So, I mean, what happens when that player number 4 and 5 comes on and scores? But that couldn't happen the first three quarters of the season. It doesn't make sense to me. So that can't be allowed to happen, in my opinion. So, again, we come to you null and you void it out. Sorry, Liverpool. I mean, that sucks for you guys. And I think most Liverpool fans would even tell you that it sucks, but they wouldn't want to win under the circumstance. I don't know. I could be wrong on that. If it were me and I was a West Ham fan and we were gonna win the league for the first time ever, I would be absolutely devastated, but I don't think I'd want that asterisk next to the title. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want that asterisk there, you know, especially if it was going to be our only one in forever. Like, think about Leicester. Imagine if they had a big old asterisk there. I'd wonder what a Leicester fan would say, because it's an incredible feat that they won the Premier League. But
right.
Imagine if it came out that they like severely cheated, and not enough that where it gets taken from them, but there's an asterisk. I would be like,
Houston Astros.
I kind of wouldn't want it. What? Did I say it wrong?
Houston Astros.
Oh, Houston Astros. I thought you said you say asterisk wrong. I'm like, what? No. Houston Astros. Exactly. That's like, that's shit, you know?
Yep. And I wouldn't. I don't think. But, you know, I think to each Liverpool fan, they're going to have a different opinion. But if it were me, I would say I don't think I want that hanging over our head.
No.
I don't know.
Okay, so next question is from JRS Football for All. If you could get any three players from the championship to West Ham, who would you pick and why? Welcome back. So thank you for the welcome back, and thank you for being a listener to the podcast. Do you have anybody in mind off the top of your head? I have a few, like one or two guys, but nothing crazy. And
you,
I don't watch it
first.
Enough. Okay, so one guy is from QPR. He is a midfielder. He's 21 years old, Eberiche Eze. He's from Nigeria. I don't know how to pronounce his name, but he seems to be a really good player for them. Scored some goals this season, has a few assists, and he's probably one of the top-rated players when it comes to average match rating. So I would definitely go with him. And then the other one is for our buddy Nick, who I was like, I don't want to say I was against Mitrovic coming back.
Mitrovic, yeah.
Mitrovic, you know how I always had a problem saying Arnautovic.
You just set up perfectly right there.
Well, that's because I practiced a few times. I genuinely, folks, if you listen back to our old pods, I probably called him Marco or Arnie most episodes because I didn't want to fuck up Arnautovic. Did I say it right again?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, the practice makes perfect now that he's gone. Mitrovic, I would like to see him. He absolutely killed it in the championship, and I thought he just was like had a lucky season at Fulham, but he's actually killing it again in the championship. So I think he would be a useful player to either have a backup or rotation and or start and help Allaire, someone to play off of.
Yeah.
I don't have a third. There's not enough players that I'd be like, yes, West Ham need him. I guess my third would be, I hope I didn't steal this from you, that you were thinking it would just having Grady back.
No, I wasn't going to say that. You did steal Mitrovic from me. I was going to say Mitrovic, but if I had to, just pluck three guys out with like out of the championship, you know, again, I don't watch a whole ton of it, but Mitrovic would be right at the top of the list. I think Brentford have a ton of guys that you could just go ahead and pluck right out and play in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Ollie Watkins would be an obvious one. I think he is one of the best players in the championship right now. I think we got one of the best players in Jared Bowen. I think that was a huge get, and I totally agree with that signing. I think I don't know if I'm saying his name right, but Benarama from Brentford as well. Really good player from what I've seen of him. And there was one other guy. Who was it? He plays for not one of the top teams. Great podcasting here. Oh, he plays for Fulham. What is his name? Fulham. Not Mitrovic. Sorry, guys. This is terrible.
I can't help Brawley. I'm not sure who the fuck he's talking about.
Oh, Tom Kearney from Fulham.
Oh, we've been linked with them before. Their captain, center mid. Yeah.
And I think he would have been a great addition. I think even I would go back him for Alfie Mawson. I know he hasn't been terrific for them, but he would be another guy I would look at. So not great insight there, but some of the few guys I would try to pick.
I started trying to watch more now that ESPN Plus does the championship in League One, and now that I have some other TV ventures, I get the Sky Sports and BT Sport non-league and their primetime games. So I've been trying to watch a little bit more, but you know, obviously that has been put on hold considering the circumstances we find ourselves in. So the next one is from Jeremiah Carson from Green Street Hammer. Shout out to them. What should the club's main focus be with training back in session? So do you anything that you want the team to focus on? And you can't say everything, because that was my first thought. I'm like, they need to focus on everything considering the way they've been playing. Because if we do come back and we do have to finish the season, folks, we're not in a great position. We control our own destiny being out of the relegation zone on goal differential, but that's way too close for comfort. We're only 3 goals out, you know, tied at 27 points.
And one thing I also wanted to say, if any non-West Ham fans are listening to this and they hear me saying null and void, it is not to avoid us getting relegation. That has absolutely nothing to do with it. I'm coming at it from a totally unbiased point of view. I just think, to me, that's the only way you can make it fair for everyone. And so you see, like, people going after Karen Brady for saying it. It's like, yeah, that was really annoying what she said. And great timing for her to come out in her column and say that. But, you know, you got to – she's kind of right, though. It's one of the few things I agree with her. If you can't finish a season under the same set of rules that you had before –
She's right, but it's her approach. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but she is right, but it's her approach, and it's her approach all the time in that stupid Sun column that she writes for that is just spews shit almost every weekend and stirs up drama and makes our club look like fools. So she could absolutely be right, but it's her approach and how she goes about getting that information out to the public. Sorry. Okay, rant over.
So I just wanted to clarify – if we have to finish the season, I mean, that's fine, but I would much rather, from a neutral perspective, finish the season null and void and start again next season. Anyway, what would I have the squad focus on? I don't know. I guess defensively it'd be nice to right the ship, just get everything solidified at the back. It seems like we have everyone back healthy now, which has never happened, but that's what a two-month layoff will do for you. It'll get the boys back. Hopefully Jack Wilshere. This is the perfect situation for a guy like Jack Wilshere to not miss the games and build up some fitness over that time. I would say I would love to see Jack Wilshere get involved, because I think on his day, probably one of the best players we have. But the problem is we have not seen that day. So we did get to see him score one goal, though. I mean, that was nice to get to see him score a goal in the cup game.
We have conceded the fourth most goals. Now that you talk about defensively, just to point out, let's see, Villa have conceded 56, Norwich have conceded 52, Southampton have conceded 52, and we have conceded 50. So we have conceded the fourth most goals in the Premier League. So I would like to see our set piece and just general defending improve drastically.
Yeah, and I would also like to see Allaire and Antonio work together up front as a two, but those would be my things.
Oh, that just gets me real excited, because here's the thing with Antonio. I think One thing I laugh about, and that's probably shitty podcasting, but I really don't care. If you stuck with us this long through the American West Ham podcast and now this transition, you probably get over it. I just think it's absolutely crazy sometimes how wrong we can be with podcasting, talking about how we wanted, or at least I could say for myself, and I'm pretty sure you said it, but I'll let you admit to it, saying like Ogbonna and Antonio are players that could easily have been sold last year. And here they are, probably two of our most crucial players this season.
Yeah, it is wild how, you know, players can turn around form. And that's what form is there for. I mean, it's you don't have to go down as a terrible player. If you work your socks off and you get back in, there's no reason you can't turn things around, which they have done. So, and by the way, guys, you see rumors out there, like from Indicalia and all these sort of things, and all these transfer rumors going around, and if you believe any of them, you're an absolute idiot. You know, we are affiliated with the West Ham Way, so yep. I could say X is the only place I go to for news and info regarding West Ham. And if X is saying nothing's happening, nothing is happening. I promise you. So us going in for some 30 million pound player, it ain't happening. Us selling players right now, it ain't happening. Now, we might have to sell Declan Rice this season or next season, whenever that may come around. We may have to, because Sullivan will use this as an excuse.
That's what I've been trying to tell people, is we talked about that last year. It's no different. We had the same conversation going into this season. Will Declan stay? Will he stay with us? You know, now people are just bored, and it's festering even more. So I don't know what people expect. And also, I do want to shout out, I do like to read some of Sean's stuff. I don't click on the links because it's always ads, but I do like to hear what Sean has to say. He's been a supporter of our podcast. But X is obviously, with this transition, X and Dave have been instrumental in helping us out too. So I appreciate X and Dave a lot.
And also, hopefully the LA event is still happening. Promoted and ran by John Black. I will be going if it happens. Me and my wife will be there. Sammy said she wanted to go, so she will be coming with this time. So hopefully that'll happen, and we'll get to see you guys in LA, but we will see about that. Do you have the next question pulled up in front of you?
Yeah, I mean, I hope it happens. I'm not sure what is happening right now, and with my check, I think I'm trying to do a Balkan West Ham trip, so try to go to England and then maybe like Croatia, Czech Republic, Serbia area. So we'll see what the funds look like, but I would like to get out to LA with you and Sammy and all the crew and have a blast, because I think that would be an absolute party.
Yep, you missed out on hell of a time last year. I
know,
that.
Vegas was crazy and I missed it. I was actually at the Brighton game when everybody was watching on the Brighton in Vegas. So I'm disappointed I missed that, but I will say I had a blast. And then experiencing VAR in the flesh. That was interesting. Last question. Pork steak schmuck. This one's a tough one, I will admit, because I told you, I think, obviously, like I said, if you've listened to our podcast, you know I can't stand transfer questions. I appreciate the questions coming in from the listeners. However, I don't do enough scouting to answer them, so we'll see how we do. Pork Steak Schmuck says, seeing as all of the transfer news is basically all of speculation at this point, what moves would you two make when the window finally opens? Our lack of comprehensive system is concerning already, and we're apparently going into a window without much money to spend. I will say there's something that really speaks to me in this question, and I spoke with Liam, one of the Liams, about this. These are our friends from our group chat. And one of the things that we always talk about is, what are we playing? Like, I really don't feel like West Ham have a system or a mentality, a vibe, a goal. It's just, there it is. Get out there and play. You know, I don't think that there's much going on. So I would really like to see us target, even if we don't spend much money, have specifically targeted players with a system in mind and a way, not to be corny, though, a West Ham way, or just a way that we play that the transfers make sense.
So Moyes really has never played that big. He's not a big system guy, I don't think. He doesn't play like 4-5-1, 4-4-2. I don't think you have to have a quote unquote system in place. I think you need to have an identity, and you have to have someone. So you have to have players to make that identity work. So you have to have a guy who the system runs through. I think if Declan Rice is there next year, you got to make the system built around him and the center of the park. So I would say Rice, Allaire, and Antonio are the guys you really need to build around. Everything else kind of build around them. And then my transfer solutions would be, this isn't very imaginative, but I think from what I've seen of Souček, you got to make that transfer permanent.
Mm-hmm.
Because I really like him and Rice there in the middle of the park. I know Noble, I love Noble. He's getting old, but I think Souček and Rice is better than Noble and Rice.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to recall Grady Dean Gana on loan. I think that's a great place to start because those won't cost you a ton of money. Obviously, Dean Gana won't because we're bringing him back. But I think Souček is probably 10 to 15 million. So that's not the end of the world.
Right.
But outside of those targets, I couldn't tell you. I would love to see us buy some of the players I was talking about from the championship, like Benarama and Ollie Watkins from Brentford. And, you know, I would look at, obviously, Mitrovic. And I think one guy I didn't talk about that I would potentially look at would be Patrick Bamford from Leeds. I like him a lot. I know he didn't do a whole lot in the Premier League when he was here with Palace, but I think he's a good striker. But those would be some of my targets.
On him because of injury?
That I don't know. I think
from
that was
when he was at Brentford.
Who are you talking about?
Was Bamford at Brentford?
No, he was not.
Okay, well, I'm a fucking idiot.
I think you might be thinking of Charlie Austin at Southampton because David Sullivan said he's got no ligaments in his knees.
No, I knew that.
Yeah, but I don't know who you're thinking of.
No, Bamford played for Middlesbrough. I don't know what I was thinking.
Yeah, he played for Borough. Played for Borough, Palace, Leeds, probably a couple of other clubs too.
Yeah, well, that made great podcasting then.
Yeah. Okay. But that was the last of the questions?
Yep, that was the last of the questions. What else do you want to talk about? Is there anything else really?
Not really. I'm hoping. So obviously my trip to England got canceled, so that I was raving about a couple of episodes ago. I was really excited for it. Luckily, I was able to get a full refund. American Airlines did refund me in full. It was a non-refundable flight that I purchased that they refunded in full. So that was good on them, to be expected, but I think that deserves praise because there are some corporations not giving out cash refunds and they're doing vouchers instead. So I thought American deserved a little bit of credit for giving me my money back. And then I am trying to go back over in September, but if there's no Premier League, I won't be going. I'm going to make sure I go when the Premier League is running.
Yeah, there's a small little group of us that are talking about in a group chat of potentially going next March. I think we're shooting for possibly as well. So we'll have to further talk about that, but we'll see. Hopefully a little American Hammers invasion in March.
Yeah, that's good to hear. I would love to go with you guys in March. That would be really cool. But yeah, so I didn't get to go. I'm sad about that, but you know, the safety of the world is definitely weighs more on me than my fun little trip. And that's what I can't stand about people right now is the selfish pricks who think, you know, this is all a
joke,
you know, a conspiracy and a joke and you don't take it seriously. And that poor woe is me because I didn't get to go do this. You know, it's disgusting how selfish people are. And please, for the love of God, if you can stay home and you're not essential, quote unquote, just stay at home. This is what, you know, I don't want to get political on this, but there's states planning on reopening. I share a border right 20 yep. minutes from my house with one of these states that are going to reopen in the next couple of weeks. And, you know, we're going to see another spike of it. And then you're going to cause another shutdown. And that's what I don't want. So please, people, just stay home if you can. I know it sucks being quarantined at home. It really is annoying, but we have to get through it. And the only way to do that is if we make this thing go away. And the only way to do that is if you stay at home and flatten the curve. So please, people, stay home. Stay home.
Yes, I have nothing else to add other than stay home and Never mind. Yes. Thank you, Brawley. We'll leave it at that.
I didn't bring up any politicians, so.
No, I know you did a good job. You did a good job. We don't need anyone getting mad at the West Ham Way USA podcast for being biased of any reason or rhyme, so we'll just leave it at that. Can you take us out on the shit that I always mess up?
Yeah, you can follow us on Twitter at the. Or shit, what is the Twitter handle? At West Ham Way USA Pod.
You doing all right over there? It's been a while.
Has been a while. You can always send us an email to westhamwayusapod@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Brawley Darbin. You can follow Tony on Twitter at Tony Clark Dupe. And I believe that is it. So, guys, stay safe. Stay healthy. We're going to get through this together one way or another. As Peter Crouch says, we will be back stronger. So we'll see you guys whenever we see you.